Welcome, everybody. Mike Cabea and myself are here for a mentoring session, and we're focusing on Black Lives Matter. The reason we're focusing this mentoring session on Black Lives Matter is for us as business owners to think about the color lines we might have in our head, and therefore would show up in our behavior and our decisions that we make regarding our business. How can we remove the color lines when we are hiring people and building cultures of inclusivity and writing workplace policies? If Black Lives Matter, how will their lives be affected by our business? This session is about how we can improve our lives as well as others and build equity to improve lives through business ownership and improve the lives of those around us. And I'm talking about, if Black Lives Matter, how are we incorporating people from other cultures into our lives? Black Lives Movement, what is it? Who founded it? What is it really about? And I'm glad that we're talking about this because it's also an education for me because of some of the terminology that came out. And so maybe we can clarify some of that.
Okay.
And, it started with, I think, you and I having discussions about the Krista Tippett interview on her On Being show. The episode was about Black Lives Matter. And Patrice Cullors, who is one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matters movement, she was interviewed along with Dr. Robert Ross. So like he says in the interview, if Black Lives Matter, then what does that mean for police reform? What does that mean for economic development and jobs? So he says the whole entire movement really challenges us to rethink our frames and pick different kinds of fights. The purpose of the interview with Krista Tippett was to explore human and spiritual underpinnings and promise in these things, this movement challenging age-old racism. Krista Tippett says that Webb Du Bois said, the problem of the 20th century is the color line. What we didn't know in the 20th century but now know through science is that there's also a color line in our heads, so that even as we pass laws, and most of us, the vast majority of us, decided that racism was wrong and bad and didn't apply to us, we still continued to behave in ways that didn't sync with that. This is where the new narrative comes in, with social media and how the movement is changing. So the other two women that were the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, outside of Patrice Cullors, is also Opal Tometi and Alicia Garza. And they said that the reason that they started this movement was in July of 2013, after George Zimmerman, a Neighborhood Watch volunteer, was acquitted in the killing of the 17-year-old Trayvon Zimmerman, who was murdered on February 26, 2012, in Sanford, Florida. So the movement began as a political project to raise awareness about structural racism, about policing and state-sanctioned violence, ongoing violence, criminalization of poverty, police brutality, and just the whole mental health system. And the Black Lives Matter now has grown into a chapter-based national organization working for the validity of Black life. So I was just wondering, you know, with all that background, what is your experience with the movement itself?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here again.
Yes.
And got to say that I just had a good little session one-on-one. You and I on my own business, so thank you for that.
Yes.
Now, getting back to your question, I would say there's a lot to say about, you know, Black Lives Matter. First of all, this is something that if you're not very well informed about, you might just have a completely distorted idea about if you're, you know, you don't know the origin, although all the background that you just talked about. A couple of months ago, I had this long interview with Professor Diana Hayes, and I asked her a question, a pertinent question, about Black Lives Matter, and I would like to answer to your question referring to her answer.
Yeah.
She said something like, it is true that we are facing discrimination and racism and that mental line or the color line, as you refer to it. This is not something that needs to be documented. It's well known, you know, were you to go throughout all the history of the United States with all the, you know, problems that have been undergone from slavery up until now. Mm-hmm. So there's, in a way or another, some sort of discrimination going on at different layers of the society, of the society, if you will. But then what I have to say to that is that I think it's a legitimate movement. It's totally a legitimate movement, even though sometimes we assist to some form of, say, outrageous behavior, if you will. Some people who probably don't perceive the ideal behind that movement get to behave in an appropriate way. To get back to what the professor said, she said, like, we need to earn more to convert people. We need to make people to understand the why of our movement.
Yes.
And to realize how legitimate that it is, instead of, you know, taking to actions that will only make more enemies.
Yeah.
You see? Like all the whole thing where people broke in, you know, in stores or start quote-unquote looting pretty much. I believe that's negative. And it's turning the whole idea, you know. It's turning the whole effort that people are trying to make to resolve serious issues that are happening in our communities. And so at the grassroots, I guess this is a very positive movement.
Yes.
That's helping people realize that definitely something has got to be done here. We need to work on wiping away that color line that's
Causing
that's causing unrest, that's causing all sorts of problems and separation based on the color of the skin.
Yes. Mm. And you know, as I was digging into this a little bit further, they've got on their website some different leading principles that they are trying to they're promoting. Mm-hmm. And I like the restorative justice principle, where we're committed to collectively, lovingly, and courageously working vigorously for freedom and justice for Black people, mm-hmm. and by extension, all people. Mm-hmm. As we forge our path, we intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle that is restorative, not depleting. And in that, I also think it's not destructive.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. That, and in the NPR broadcast program on Krista Tippett, her interview, along with on Fresh Air, Terry Gross has these wonderful interviews. And anyways, Dave Davies was hosting for her the day that he interviewed a legal scholar, lawyer, and author. Her name is Michelle Alexander, and she wrote the book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Color Blindness. And she was talking, and this was in 2012.
Yes.
And it was honoring Martin Luther King's memory in January of 2012. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read the book. I just, in preparation for this conversation, I was just looking through and I thought I'm mm-hmm. really becoming educated about what's gone on in our country after Martin Luther King. the incarceration of our black men and what has become a prison industrial complex. And in the interview with Michelle Alexander, she expressed where the problems really began were on our war on drugs. That Richard, past President Richard Nixon in the 70s had talked about war on drugs, but President Ronald Reagan at the time had implemented the war on drugs. And through that, all these different programs began to start making the impoverished people be more impoverished. And the police were going out, policing them and picking them up for minor things, pulling them over for insignificant reasons, and not providing the needs that these communities have. So I'm just troubled by it. And at the same time, I also noticed the Patrice Cullors, one of the founders. She, in the interview with NPR that aired on Krista Tippett's show on Being, Patrice Cullors spoke of the light that comes inside of people to other communities that are like, I'm going to stand on the side of Black lives. You see people literally transforming. And that's a different type of work. And for her, that's the spiritual work. It's healing work.
It is healing work, yes.
And human to human. If you take a moment to be with somebody, to understand the pains they're going through, you get to transform yourself through the process. So it isn't just, you know, going out and helping people and I'm doing this great thing about helping people. But it's really finding ways to connect with people. Like I feel you and I have really... really deep conversations.
Absolutely.
And I feel like there's a, you know, we're trying to understand each other. Like there's an authenticity in what we're doing. And we really genuinely want to help each other improve our lives by working together.
Absolutely. It's all about having an open mind on both parts, as Black people are concerned and white people are concerned too. Each group of people has some benefit to withdraw from developing a positive mentality, and to understand that we all living on this earth, we should look at difference as beauty rather than
be afraid of it. Yeah, we're all connected. We all need to work together to improve our lives.
Yes.
And there's enough statistics out there with this like prison industrial complex. There's an organization called criticalresistance.org. They were formed in 1997, and they have a mission to build an international movement to end the prison industrial complex by challenging the belief that caging and controlling people makes us safe. We believe, and this is the organization's website, they say on there, we believe that basic necessities such as food, shelter, and freedom are what really make our communities secure. As such, our work is part of global struggles against inequality and powerlessness. The success of the movement requires that it reflect communities most affected by the prison industrial complex. Because we seek to abolish the prison industrial complex, we cannot support any work that extends its life or scope. And there is so much evidence of how much money is being spent.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I always laugh at this. I'm like, okay, we are living in a country that's the most developed, obviously, in the world. And we are civilized, right? We would like to be seen as more civilized.
Yes.
But I guess some of the things that we do just say the contrary, you know. How would you, for example, imagine that we are the country where there is the most populous prisons?
Yeah, the highest
highest incarceration rate in the world. It just doesn't make sense. But just getting back to what I was saying here previously, there's another thing I would like to add that Professor Diana Hayes, she said, when they say Black Lives Matter, doesn't mean on the flip side that other lives don't matter, you know?
Right.
It just means that you need to take into account these people too and to consider them like you'd consider anybody else. Because it's so frequent to find that if a young boy, black young boy, does something wrong, he will almost certainly going to be more punished than if a young white person of the same age did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So why is that?
Right. You
know? Yeah.
And Black Lives Matter, you've come out of slavery in our country. I mean, you've been the most compromised population of people in the world. And like, for example, I was reading the Jim Crow laws. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, that was a post-slavery tactic to control blacks.
Oh, yes.
So these laws were put into place in southern states. Let me just read you a couple of them.
Yep.
And let's talk about them. A black male could not offer his hand to shake hands with a white female because it implied being socially equal.
Wow.
Obviously, a black male could not offer his hand or any other part of his body to a white woman because he risked being accused of rape.
Wow.
Or blacks and whites were not supposed to eat together. If they did eat together, whites were to be served first and some sort of partition was to be placed between them. Under no circumstance was a black male to offer to light the cigarette of a white female. That gesture implied intimacy. Blacks were not allowed to show public affection toward one another, especially kissing, because it offended whites. Jim Crow etiquette prescribed that blacks were introduced to whites, never whites to blacks. For example, Mr. Peters, the white person, this is Charlie, the black person that I spoke to you about. So, I mean, all these little social demeaning etiquette rules in place.
Yeah. You'd think you're in a cartoon or something, you know. You wouldn't imagine that has existed, you know, not long ago.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But, well, I think, like I said before, it's all a matter of mentality. We came a long way. There's just a little more effort to be done to overcome lots of difficulties and barriers that are useless.
Yeah.
That fail us rather than, you know, elevating every one of us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely an education to find out more about our history and revisit it in a different perspective.
Yes.
But if Black Lives Matter, we really need in business to really make sure, like in Minnesota, I was looking at, there's a council on black that now, that's a degrading council name.
Yes.
Council of Black Minnesotans. Thank God they renamed it to the Council of Minnesotans of African Heritage. So this organic council was created by the Minnesota legislature in 1990. And I was looking at it to see what are we putting in place to kind of address the issues in Minnesota.
Mm.
Of racial discrimination.
Yes.
And the purpose of this council is to ensure that people of African heritage fully and effectively participate in and equitably benefit from the political, social, and economic resources, policies, and procedures in the state of Minnesota. And in 2005, what they found were kind of three things. One was what are some of the key African heritage concerns that need to be addressed? The need for jobs and economic development. The education system is not working for African heritage children.
Yes.
Do you feel that? You've got your four boys in the Minneapolis public school system.
Well,
do you think they're not being served well?
A lot of things have become very subtle, but I was just part of this conference recently at the University of Minnesota, where a group of teachers were actually coming up with a sort of another movement to claim the fact that history of people of African descent is not taught as it should be taught.
Yes.
You know, this is another kind of discrimination because it's ignoring completely people, or teach them what is not true. Like, I guess it was in Texas that they came up with these books of history where they said people of African descent came voluntarily to the United States, you know.
Yeah.
Like they would like to be teaching people that. No, that's a huge lie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And why hide that?
Right.
So, like I said, things have become a little subtle, but we still need to work on those to make sure that everybody feels comfortable, you know?
I received my undergraduate degree at Bemidji State University,
yes.
And I was homecoming queen there my
yes.
last year there.
Yeah.
And for the first time, they had a black man who was homecoming king.
Oh.
And they had the least amount of coverage. There were very few photos.
Yes.
And so I wrote a letter to the editor of the paper mm-hmm. because I had researched prior years of, you know, for homecoming, you know, why isn't it in all the university papers and mm-hmm. in just the small city of Bemidji?
Yes.
So I was aware at that time in 1984 that people of different skin colors were treated differently. And
yes.
that was really my first awareness to that degree.
Yes.
And I just felt so sad about it.
Yeah.
Like it's just so unfair and they can't even get the same recognition.
Yes.
And so I just felt we both felt slighted through the process. And
yeah.
it just left me feeling like we have a long ways to go.
Yeah, there's still a lot of effort to, you know, to undertake in order to get rid of a lot of, you know, cliches and, you know, prejudices and things like that.
Yeah. And part of this council is to help with addressing also outside of the educational system or in addition to problems with criminal justice system, including policing and community relations. And the need for affordable housing opportunities. Some of the solutions are that the council needs to maintain the messages of equality, civil rights, encouragement, training, empowerment, and necessity of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think in Minnesota, we're doing some things we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
But we certainly have a long ways to go. But I think we're starting here. We're
Absolutely.
Starting with each other.
Yes.
And we're expanding outward. And the number of immigrants who are starting business in Minnesota continues to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I've found as a female, the best way for us to really build equality is to be in positions of leadership
mm-hmm.
where we have equity that we can build
mm-hmm.
So that we have value in the businesses and our companies, and we also are bringing value to our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a good start here, and I'm just encouraging all business owners to go out and really connect with people from other races and find out, have dinner with them, invite them over.
Absolutely. I think there's, like I said before, there's a lot of benefit in opening those doors, because you never know what you're missing, but not empowering somebody just because they have a different color of skin. Every one of us, every human being has some potential to some degree. It doesn't matter how it shows up or how it is displayed throughout their lifetime. But if we could take advantage of using everyone's potentials, I guess that would be just great. We'll go even higher. We will grow higher instead of, you know, throwing those walls of limitations due to colors of skin or whatever that is.
Yeah. Hmm. People's limited mindset.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will put on the website the names of the programs that I listed, with Krista Tippett's On Being and the interview, the podcast interview that we had listened to, and Dave Davies' interview on Fresh Air, and also a YouTube clip that has Opal Tometi, her description of the Black Lives Matter movement.
Absolutely.
All right. So go out and expand your horizon. Meet new people, explore their stories, and see where it can take you with your own expansion of your own thinking. All right. We'll see you next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Nessie.